Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 518 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast, and I believe last week I promoted the fact or talked about the fact that Tyler Heath Hatton was going to be the guest on this week's episode to specifically talk about the upcoming Stride Pro Wrestling show that is coming to Crab Orchard High School in Marion, Illinois on Friday night, November the 8th. However, scheduling conflicts and life happens sometimes, and if you follow Tyler on social media, you understand that some things happened to him this week that he was not able to record when we were planning to record, and we're hopefully going to sit down next week. I am actually, as I am recording this on Sunday evening, getting ready to pack, and I am leaving for a couple of days for a work trip to Arizona, so hopefully when I get back, we will be able to sit down and talk. So that being said, I'm going back to my original quest for getting Halloween-related episodes out during the month of October. Last week, Chad and I talked about AEW. If you haven't listened to that show, go back and listen and let me know your thoughts. Give me your 1-2-3 cents on the podcast, what we talk about, what we do here with the show, the other channels out there, YouTube and Instagram, Facebook, etc., Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days, and just kind of let me know what's on your mind. I am actually going to be talking about the Dungeon of Doom this week. I have Fall Brawl, the War Games from 1995, fired up on Peacock right now, and I'm not going to sit here and do a watch-along per se, but I am going to kind of use it as a guide and as a reference as I'm talking along, because this is probably one of the more prominent features that we saw from the Dungeon of Doom, which was formed in 1995. So right prior to this event, the Giant, a big part of this, and right now he is driving that monster truck and driving over Hulk Hogan's motorcycle, which of course leads us to Halloween Havoc 95, another month after this event, this Fall Brawl event, where Hogan and the Giant face off in those monster trucks, and the Giant falls into the river, comes out dry and alive after falling off the roof of the building. But that's a whole nother story for a whole nother podcast. But I am going to talk, again, just some thoughts, feelings, memories, if you will, of the Dungeon of Doom. Because, you know, at the time, I'm in my early 20s, still in college, still watching wrestling, not as probably sporadic, not as regular as I normally would be. The Dungeon of Doom, you know, in the mid-90s, and wrestling was really kind of going, when I first started watching in late 83, like watching as a full-time watcher, until, you know, probably, I guess about this time. I mean, wrestling was still presented very cartoonish. We had the very high highs of the golden era of the WWF with Hulk Hogan, and of course, you know, you have Andre the Giant, Tito Santana, and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, and the Junkyard Dog, and Rowdy Roddy Piper. And if you're watching, you see a case full of action figures and cartoonish, larger-than-life things going on. And as I'm watching this highlight reel leading into the War Games, you know, on Peacock with the Dungeon of Doom, that presentation is very reminiscent of that, even though by 95, you know, Chad and I have talked about this before. When he talks about his fandom as a child and you know, in a teenager, preteen years, he was more of a WCW or Jim Crockett Promotions fan. I was more of a WWF fan, but we watched both. And Jim Crockett Promotions, for the most part, was presented as a bit more serious. You know, you had Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, and Arn Anderson, and Dusty Rhodes, and the Road Warriors, and Magnum TA. These, again, I don't want to say every man, but they were guys that were there more for the wrestling and not the presentation, not the steak versus the sizzle, if you will. And right now on Fall Brawl, you've got Hulk Hogan's team, the Hulkamaniacs, all dressed up in war gear. The Macho Man Randy Savage, Lex Luger, and Sting joining Hulk Hogan. A very dominant foursome, to say the very least. And so we'll get more into that in just a few minutes, but just kind of setting that table for when we were fans as kids in the 80s. And then we transition into the 90s. And, you know, on the WWF side of things, the Ultimate Warrior is champion. Sting is the champion in WCW. And again, these larger-than-life characters, they're painted up, they're wearing neon, and they're you know, action figures and the whole nine yards. And WCW finally is starting to get in on that trend as well. But, you know, I feel like in 90, 91, 92, things start kind of tapering off for both companies. There's a down period for wrestling. And I think we could probably argue in some realms, entertainment in general, things changed. And I don't know if it's just the perspective of maybe going from being a kid to kind of reaching into those adult years. And by adult, I mean late teen, early 20s. Is it just my age group? Is it just that Gen X group that feels that way? Or did wrestling really kind of drop off? I think, you know, when we got into that occupational era of WWF wrestling in 93, 94, 95, and even into 96, I think you could argue, versus then what was happening in WCW. And, you know, Hulk Hogan going to WCW, obviously in 1994, added a lot of credibility to the company, attracting others like the Macho Man Randy Savage. We're going to see guys like Kamala and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Earthquake under a different name. And then eventually we see Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, and then the war is on, so to speak. So yeah, even Jimmy Hart is out here. And I always thought Jimmy Hart with Hulk Hogan in that babyface role, I didn't like it. Jimmy Hart to me was always a heel, and eventually here he will join forces with the Dungeon of Doom here. So this fan favorite version of Jimmy Hart is not long to hold, but I feel like this is a long promo going into this match too. Hogan is still talking. It's been several minutes now, but anyway, they're gearing up, they're counting down, they're getting ready for this big match. But I feel like those early Hogan years in WCW, at least the first 2 years before the heel turn, which he's there about 2 years before he turns and joins the NWO, and then relaunches, revitalizes the character, and revitalizes the business, I think you could argue as well, in a lot of regards. But I think that 94, 95, and early 96 Hulk Hogan in WCW is still very reminiscent of the red and yellow Hulkamania that we had gotten from 84 to 92, 93 in the WWF. And I think fans were sick of it and they were getting bored with it. And I think bringing in, because what WCW also did, at least from this perspective, this point of view, is they bring in a lot of those same talent that Hogan had gone through. And again, there's that level, and I really didn't realize it until, I don't know if it was Eric Bischoff who said it or Bruce Pritchard, someone said it on one of the Conrad podcasts, maybe even Tony Schiavone, that Hogan had a level of comfortability with those talents from the early days, the Kamalas, the Earthquake, Ming or Haku, Big Bubba as the Big Boss Man. So those guys all coming over as well provided that level of comfort. But we as fans, especially as we're getting a little older, that newness wears off and it becomes a bit repetitive and a little bit boring and redundant And, you know, I think a lot of us outgrew that era and wanted something new, wanted something different. The war games are throwing the rules up right now. And so letting people know exactly how this is going to work out. And traditionally speaking, the war games, a lot of the early days of that concept, it was the Four Horsemen versus a group of baby faces, usually Dusty Rhodes, the Road Warriors, and then throw in guys like Lex Luger or Sting. I don't know. I think War Games started after Magnum TA's accident, so I don't think Magnum was ever on that babyface team of Dusty's team against the Horsemen. They are still going over the rules for War Games. If there's this many rules, it might be a little complicated. Just my opinion. If you're spending this much time explaining the rules of the match, Michael Buffer, the ring announcer, wow, they're pulling out the big guns here. Now, they were promoting this Fall Brawl event, by the way, as a double main event. This, of course, being the match that closes the show, but also Ric Flair versus Arn Anderson, the Horsemen kind of imploding there and having their match. But I'm going to go back and talk a little bit more about the Dungeon of Doom. Of course, the master who we knew, or I knew, you know, from watching in the WWF as the Wizard, who was apparently also known well before that as King Curtis or Curtis Iaukea. And he just kind of was the big head honcho, if you will. And here we go. Here comes the Dungeon of Doom out for the match, led by the Zodiac, who is Brutus Beefcake. There is Shark, who is, of course, Earthquake, Kamala, and now Ming. They're all painted up, too. Very interesting. And Kevin Sullivan at the back of the pack, but the manager, if you will, of the group, the Taskmaster, wearing red and yellow as well. And, again, leading this motley crew. And again, I'm not disparaging, because Kamala is one of my favorites. You know, those gimmick wrestlers, if you will. I mean, I'm wearing a Kamala shirt today for this podcast. And episode 30 of the My 123 Cents podcast is an interview with Kamala. He was promoting his book at the time, Kamala Speaks, which I had been reached out by Kenny Casanova, who helped to write that book, because I had taken a picture of Kamala at a Ring of Honor show in 2009, and they wanted to use it in the book. Well, this was back when the iPhone was brand new, and the picture quality was not that good. And so they ended up not being able to use it for the book. But Kenny and I kind of struck up some conversations through Twitter at the time. And I just went all in and asked, hey, do you think it'd be possible to have Kamala on the show? And he ended up being on the podcast. Again, it's episode 30. I'll put the link in the show notes on YouTube and on the podcast write up, so you can go back if you want to and listen. Unfortunately, there was, I don't remember if there was a bad connection or if he ran out of time. We lost Kamala through the podcast, you know, through the recording of it. And this was back when I didn't have a whole lot of experience with the podcast and equipment. And so it probably doesn't sound all that great. And it's well before I was doing video for the podcast, but I am so grateful to have had that opportunity to get to talk to Kamala, because to me, again, big time fandom. I always wanted his LJN figure, and luckily a couple years ago I was able to buy it from one of the fans of Stride Pro Wrestling, Denny Howell. And I always had the Hasbro version of Kamala, but he was in the package, and a few years ago I unpackaged that when I was letting all my figures breathe. Here come the baby faces now, Sting and the Macho Man Randy Savage. They're going to be joined by Lex Luger and, of course, Hulk Hogan. But, again, getting back to these characters and these members of the Doom and even of the Dungeon of Doom, that is. And in this match specifically, you know, it's Earthquake or Shark. It's Ming, who was Haku. It's Kamala, and it's Zodiac, a.k.a. Brutus Beefcake. All of these guys Hogan had run through in the WWF during his run as WWF champion, the very first house show I went to, which I'll be talking more about later this year because it's the 40-year anniversary of that event. It's Hulk Hogan versus Brutus Beefcake. And then, of course, later on, we get Hogan against Kamala. They did a whole house show circuit leading up to WrestleMania 3. In fact, there's rumor and innuendo that if Andre had not been able to wrestle at WrestleMania 3. That's why Kamala wasn't on the card. He and Paul Orndorff were both kind of backup plans to wrestle Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 3. Can you imagine how that would have changed the trajectory of the industry had that happened instead of Hogan versus Andre? Anyway, the other members here, Earthquake, of course, Hogan went through him at SummerSlam and Survivor Series in 1990, threw him out of the Royal Rumble in 1991. And the other member of this this foursome, Haku or Ming, and I can remember Saturday Night's Main Event where Hogan beats Haku. So again, that other side, the Dungeon of Doom guys, just to me, we're not going to pose any kind of threat to Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Sting, and Lex Luger. You have two former WWF heavyweight champions. Hogan is the WCW heavyweight champion right now. And then you've got Sting and Luger, who were both WCW heavyweight champions. So to me, it just was not an even pairing, an even setting. I know by this time, I think Vader has been fired, so he's out of the mix. We've got potentials of the Giant. I'm not sure why the Giant wasn't a part of this. I could probably do some more digging and find out, but just even a couple of other, you know, guys. Luger eventually ends up joining the Dungeon of Doom as well. So it's interesting that, you know, we had Vader there for a minute. He's gone after the incident with Paul Orndorff. There's really not a whole lot of others to put in there and do this match with. So it's things are starting off. It looks like here that it is Sting versus the Shark, which I guess I kind of get why they repackaged him. But, you know, to me, it's John Tent. It's the Earthquake. He's always going to be that Earthquake character. And I think he went all in, and I think he changed the tattoo on his arm that was a tiger and changed it into a shark. But, you know, again, this era, wrestling is still kind of in that dip from the early 90s, and we're still trying to figure out ways to repackage or you know, make things better with the character development and whatnot. I mean, the other channel, WWF, I think we've got Isaac Yankem, DDS, and Hakushi, and not that Hakushi was bad, but just these kind of gimmick wrestlers. I'm not sure if this is the TL Hopper era yet, but, you know, we're in that era where wrestling was just not as good as it was, in my opinion, in the mid to late 80s. And, you know, things really peaked, I think, in 87, 88, 89, and then it kind of dwindles and does that drop off. Dungeon of Doom, though, again, serving a purpose. I don't know that they necessarily belonged in that main event spotlight, but again, we're dealing with Hogan and Earthquake or Shark just got scooped up and slammed by Sting. Interesting starting with Earthquake too, by the way. I keep calling him Earthquake with the Shark. I thought maybe they would have started off with Ming, honestly. But, you know, Earthquake in there, Shark in there, sorry, and dominating right now on Sting. But anyway, I just, again, not to disparage the group, the members who were there, because again, a lot of these guys are some of my, you know, guilty pleasures, like Kamala. You know, there was the Barbarian and Ming. They ended up forming a pretty decent tag team. Hugh Morris is a part of this. The One Man Gang comes in for a bit and is part of it. Zeus, the man formerly known as Zeus the Gangster, is part of it. You know, they did that big gimmick where it was Hogan and Savage against all these bad guys. And so, you know, we get Max Muscle in there and the Ultimate Solution. And just looking at some of these other names, the Yeti, who I believe the Yeti comes in at this Halloween Havoc that we're going to see next month at the end of the Halloween Havoc event. And again, the Yeti, Ron Reese, not sure why he was wrapped in what looked like toilet paper at the time, but why he would look more like a mummy and not the Yeti, which to me is always kind of a abominable snow monster, or snowman. It's Bigfoot with white fur and lives in the snow. That's what I always associate the Yeti with. But for whatever reason, that was not the case. And Shark tried to jump over both ropes because, of course, this is a double ring in War Games, and he's caught up now in Sting going to town. And I'm going to guess inevitably that the Heels won the coin toss, so I'm sure someone else from Dungeon of Doom is about to come in. And again, I'm not going to watch this whole match. This is going to go on for a while. I just had it on for a little bit of reference and if some thoughts, because again, I feel like this was kind of peak Dungeon of Doom, even though in my fandom as a 20-something-year-old was not expecting failure for Hulkamania and the Hulkamaniacs. But again, you have some great competitors, some memorable competitors. Ming, I loved him as Haku, and King Tonga even before that. Remember watching him body slam Big John Studd. Can't say enough about Kamala. Brutus Beefcake, I was a Brutus Beefcake fan at one time. All these incarnations he had in WCW I don't think helped his character. And if you listen to Eric Bischoff, there's probably some reasonings behind that. But he was, again, one of those guys that seemed to hold on and hang on to his friendship with Hulkamania, which, again, I don't blame or you know, if you get into that position and that opportunity, why not take it? If that's what you want to do and that's your dream to be a wrestler and work for some of the biggest companies, I say go for it. Sting has Shark in the Scorpion Deathlock. And just as you know it, as soon as he cinches him into it and flips him over, it's time for someone else to come in. And that someone else is, in fact, Zodiac, who I guess went by several different gimmicks and whatnot. But everybody knows this is Ed Leslie. This is Brutus Beefcake, which it's remarkable that he was even able to wrestle again after his face being crushed in that accident, that parasailing accident back in 1990. Sting going immediately now for a Scorpion Deathlock on Zodiac, but Shark is back in this now, and so now we're going to get a double team effort. Spoiler alert, though, the Hulkamaniacs are going to end up walking away with the victory here. Dungeon of Doom, though, again, it was what it was. It's a guilty pleasure. It's fun. It's campy. 30 years later, nearly 30 years later, we can look back on it with fond memories. And after we really look at it and understand why it was the way it was, why it was set up the way it was for Hulk Hogan. You know, we're less than a year away from more of that reality-based presentation of WCW, specifically with the NWO. And some of these more gimmicky, over-the-top, silly, goofy guys and gals go away. Speaking of gals, Miss Jacqueline is eventually a member of Dungeon of Doom as well, according to Wikipedia. I have no recollection of that, but I have no reason to question it or doubt it either. So yeah, I think, again, with this match being in September of 95, really by May, June, July of 96, it's this Outsiders and NWO era. And again, things change. Guys like Kamala go away, and we don't see as much of the silliness, even though I think, as Dusty Rhodes used to say, wrestling is like a buffet. There's something for everyone, or your card should have something for everyone. And I think the Dungeon of Doom was one of those many items on the buffet to choose from and pick and have, as the Macho Man Randy Savage now explodes into the ring to save his buddy, the Stinger. But I digress, and I just want to say that even though it was campy, even though it was silly, I think I disliked it more at the time than I dislike it now as an adult going back and watching this, even though I can recognize and realize what it was and the purpose of it. So, you know, thanks for the memories to the Dungeon of Doom. It won't go down as wrestling's greatest faction, but it's also definitely not wrestling's worst faction. This was an interesting time in WCW. It was an interesting time in wrestling. And again, the Nitro era had just kicked off. So again, you're looking for those larger than life, campy characters that people can familiarize themselves with and get to know and sink some story into. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that by any means. The vignettes and the things that they did, the promos, the skits that led to the Dungeon of Doom being formed and created and all that good stuff too. Very memorable. As Kevin Sullivan would say to the wizard or the master. So fond memories. Rest in peace to many of these members as well. As we're watching, you know, Kamala is in there. Kevin Sullivan, who just recently passed away. The Macho Man, Randy Savage. And of course, John Tenta in this match, wrestling as the Shark. They're all missed, and we will continue to... I'll continue to watch this after I stop recording, but, you know, just wanted to spotlight the Dungeon of Doom, talk a little Halloween as we're counting down. And I guess if you're listening to this in January, it doesn't make any sense. As this podcast, for some reason, typically gains a little traction a couple of months after, and here comes Kamala. Again, one of my favorites. He's going to start dominating and kicking some ass as well. But again, friends, I appreciate you checking out the podcast, subscribing. Don't forget to grab a wrestling figure this year for the My 1-2-3 Cents Figure Drive. I'm working on an idea for December. I don't know if it's going to work out, but I'll get back to you guys on that. And remind you also, be sure to check out Stride Pro Wrestling. Follow on Facebook and be sure to come out on Friday night, November the 8th. It is happening at Crab Orchard High School in Marion, Illinois. Thanks again, and we will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.